friends for today and the next few episodes, Sarah and I are going to take up the work Abandonment to Divine Providence by Jean-Pierre de Caussade. This is my edition, publication of the work, and that is Sarah's. Yes, yes. So we will look at that a little bit. Okay, so there are two... So this is a spiritual classic, so that's why we've turned our attention to it. My version is translated by E.J. Strickland, 1921. And the original publication of Father Caussade was 1733 to about 1740. All right. It's in two unequal parts. The first and smaller part is what's considered the theoretical part. It's a treatise on total abandonment to divine providence. And there are two parts of this theoretical treatise. One as the practice of virtue common to all. The other as a state who have made a special practice of abandonment to the holy will of God. So it'll be those souls who are taking... the admonition to rely solely on Christ a little bit more seriously. The second of the two parts of the whole text, the practical part, consists of letters of direction, and Father will also answer objections, solve difficulties, and give practical advice. So the thesis statement for this work is as follows. And we would find it on page 9 in Strickland's edition. It goes as such. Abandonment, complete and absolute to divine providence. It is a trusting, childlike, peaceful abandonment to the guidance of grace and of the Holy Spirit. And unquestioning and undoubting submission to the holy will of God in all things that may befall us, be they due to the action of men or to the direct permission of God.
It is an interesting thing, because at the same time that I'm reading this book, I'm also reading St. Louis de Montfort's True Devotion to Mary. And I think that it's complete surrender of the self, and I think it actually follows through from St. Ignatius' spiritual exercises too, where the human person has to come to a point of, I would almost call it a radical detachment from control of anything, and to simply oneself up to, and I guess I would use the term again, a radical acceptance of whatever comes. And if we believe fundamentally that God is good all the time, then everything that he permits to take place in our life is cause for, and I'm going to use the term again, a radical thanksgiving. Right? This radical detachment and a radical thanksgiving for everything that comes to us, which I think seems, it seems so very hard, but also 100% freeing. Pierre de Caussade, I think that the way that the material is presented to us, I don't know how you were reading it, but for myself, I was really going through this book. I have found it to be a book where I go through it really, really slowly. So you probably actually finished the book, and I am still about 2/3 of the way through, because I've been reading each one of the sections really, really slowly, maybe 2 or 3 times, if we really decide what it is in there that our Lord is trying to say to me, and really to try and take this work into meditation. And it's funny because I was talking to kids in my philosophy class, teaching them about how to engage in different levels of reading, right? There's that comprehensive read where you just go and you just read through just to get everything into your head. And really, that's probably what you did. You just really read through it. And then there's that secondary reading where you're really reading it in an interrogative level, really trying to engage in the text. What is this text saying in general? And then what is it saying in particular for me? And I found that this text is really good for that secondary level of that interrogative read. Because even though he wrote this book, when did you say? I didn't look at the dates.
Early 1700s.
Yeah. Right. And you would think, how is it possible that a book that could be written in the 1700s, really, how could that still be so prescient? And yet there's so much in there that slower questioning reading I found has been very, very, very helpful. Of course, it hasn't gotten me to the end of the book yet, though.
Thank you. Yes, you brought up. I am so thankful you brought up the different types of reading, the tie into the true devotion to Mary, and the spiritual exercises, some of which we're going to circle back around on that and consider it afresh. Well, I know maybe the introductory part might be a little shorter, but we're going to go into that historical context, which Sarah rightly said, that when you're looking at more of it, expository isn't quite right. We're just wanting to get the lay of the land before you go in deeper. And so maybe I'll finish this thought off. And so that is a critical step for Sarah to go into it in a more deep, reflective, Alexio Divina type of stance. It requires yet a background from which to draw. And of course, she has an extensive background to draw from. But that's true for anything. When I'm teaching on any book of the Psalms, let's take the Psalms. I've done a lot of teaching on that. It's throughout mine. Just now taking a Proverbs. You can go find the videos should you care to. First stance. What kind of writing is it? Who is the audience? What type of writing is it? Is it poetry? Which it is, Hebrew poetry. It's prose, that sort of thing. So that when you go into this deeper, reflective, listening to what the Lord has to say, it's going to be more of a genuine conversation with Him rather than our wishful fantasy that we have such a tendency to impose upon on just about anything, including works of literature, which this is, or the scripture is, and in a fundamental sense. So that's where our reason comes to us. Let's get our stance, and that's going to be critical as we move forward with Father Cusad here, De Cusad, is that we really have to have our feet grounded in some prior understanding. So that we take what he says, just like we had to with Brother Lawrence, accurately, and not get our own ideas imposed upon it. I mean, you'll see. As we unfold this, you'll see that there's a lot of presupposition work. And Father Cusad has that from his impeccable training as a Jesuit priest. I'm sorry to say that in our day and age, our training may not be as impeccable. And so we have to attend to some background work so that we can engage these classics properly and not run into heresy, which is, you know, a real problem. Historically, it was a problem. That's why there were some concerns about it.
Right. Yeah. And I think also we just, you know, not only heresy or scrupulosity, a tendency to try and take on too much, not really being able to take, to glean the good and how do I apply this beautiful spiritual work to my now, right? Yes. Because it is capable of doing that, to be applied to the now. And those you know, we don't want to wander afield when we're engaging these spiritual classics. And I think that your point is well taken, that grounding, understanding how this developed and where the thought processes came from, so that we can engage in it authentically now, is going to be.
It's going to be important. Right. Okay, friends, what I thought was going to be a short segment is not. So there you are. All right. We will see you in the next episode. Till then, Fides et Rajah.